This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Rushen and Noel. Let's talk about mental health. Because are you feeling the strain of the COVID-19 crisis and worried perhaps that your mental health has been affected? Well, if that's the case, you aren't alone. The Health Ministry recently revealed that there are four times more mental health needs this year compared to last year.
Between January and April this year, already close to 275,000 people had sought help for mental health conditions. This compared to only 65,000 people over the course of 2020 that required psychosocial first aid. And according to the ministry, some factors leading to increased mental health problems, they include financial issues, unemployment, work stress, and family and relationship issues.
Prior to COVID-19, already 1 in 3 Malaysian adults have experienced mental health conditions, according to a national survey by the Health Ministry. The government is addressing this through the National Strategic Plan for Mental Health 2020-2025, which will see funds allocated to support community organisations working in the field of mental health.
So for more on this morning we are speaking with Dr. Chua Suk Ning, clinical psychologist and founder of Relate. Thanks for joining us this morning, Suk Ning. So there have been national mental health plans in the past before this current National Strategic Plan for Mental Health, which is slated to run until 2025. What can you actually tell us about them?
Hi, thanks for having me on. Unfortunately, when I was really trying to locate it in the public sphere, I couldn't actually locate the Mental Health Plan 2025, so I can't tell you what it entails.
Well, I'm just wanting to look at the statistics, right? We see there's a marked increase in people coming forward to get help this year compared to last year. And we would think that people are used to the pandemic now, but it seems like maybe we are reliving the trauma of it. Why is there an increase in the number of cases?
Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. So initially when, COVID-19 pandemic started, everyone was in, I think, panic mode, and we're not really sure what to do with it. And as things get settled, then we actually have time to experience the cost of the pandemic in our lives. Some people lost their jobs, other people's lives were disrupted, even students, with university assignments. It was like, are we going out back on campus? Are we not? And that kind of uncertainty and constant changes to people's lives tend to be very disruptive. And as you have, any sort of lull in constant reaction, then you start to feel those effects in your life, and it affects your mood, it affects your motivation to work, it affects your anxiety levels.
Now, financial issues seem to be one of the main mental health triggers as Malaysians continue to struggle to make ends meet during the pandemic. Do you think the government needs to be better at providing social safety nets during this pandemic?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's a larger question that has to do with economics. But I think it's important to look at, to identify groups that are particularly vulnerable worsening of mental health issues. We know that women, younger people who already have pre-existing mental health issues or physical health issues are more likely to be negatively affected by the pandemic. So I think identifying groups that are vulnerable and then providing them some sort of more support.
Now, one group that has also been quite badly affected during this time is students. And a recent survey was conducted by social enterprise Project ID on pupils during this pandemic, and it found that 84% were worried about exams amid school closures, 65% couldn't keep up with schoolwork. But this is the reality of how schools are going to be functioning this year. So is there really some way that we can address these persistent causes of worry and the mental health issues that may result?
Yeah, the Ministry of Education, I think all over the world is trying to look at what the best solution is. And I think people are trying to, the governments are trying to strike a balance between being responding quickly to, the rise of cases, as well as try to create some sort of resemblance of normalcy for students. For me, one big thing is actually checking in with students and what is it that they need. Often policies and regulations are made without conferring with students who are best affected. Now, obviously, we can differentiate between, you know, very young students who may not be able to contribute to the conversation, but they do have important things to say. With, I mean, you know, we can even include university students and high school students who can actually help us get a better sense of what the best solution is for them. You know, what do they actually want? So that's one, I think, more inclusive conversations with individuals who are affected. But the second one is also the recognition that students will need ongoing support, not just this year, not just next year. But we know that, you know, there's more and more evidence that the COVID, a number of people are showing PTSD symptoms from the COVID-19 pandemic. And so we can assume that this would be quite impactful, especially on young children. And so we are looking at a long-term care plan. You know, how are we going to care for children, for our children now, our teenagers now, and even our young people at this point in time for the next 5-10 years?
What could this care plan look like in 5 to 10 years, or even in the short term?
For sure. I mean, we can obviously look at more counselors at the school level, you know, more social support. One thing that Relate is looking at is because of the lack of, you know, mental health professionals, the resources that we often talked about, is training peers to provide that sort of support. You know, how do we involve individuals who have already walked some of the experiences and they may be able to provide advice and support? So we want to create a holistic system. So not just counselors are involved, not just teachers or parents, but even their peers are starting to create that sort of support. Even people themselves are recognizing that it's okay to seek support. So we have on one end a lot of support givers, but on the other hand, we try to reduce the stigma and we try to increase people's willingness to seek help. So it's a whole community coming together.
So let's end on this note then. So tomorrow the country goes into a strict lockdown for 2 weeks. What is your advice to people who have had enough of this and are anxious about this current situation that we're in, whether COVID-19 or otherwise? Because we seem to be moving from one crisis to another.
Yeah, this is a big one. I think everyone has had enough of it. And I think we want our anxiety to go away, but recognizing that the anxiety will not go away, and it's okay to have a difficult time. So taking time for yourself, but also having this idea in mind that I don't need my anxiety to go completely down for me to have a meaningful life. So recognize, what do you need right now for your life to have some sort of purpose, some sort of meaning, and engage in that no matter how you feel.
Suk Ning, thanks so much for joining us this morning. That was Dr. Chua Suk Ning, clinical psychologist and founder of Relate, talking to us about the rise in mental health issues that we have seen during this pandemic. Now, of course, if you need emotional support during this time, you can get in touch with a number of places. Befrienders, the number there is 0376272929. The Women's Aid Organisation hotline is also available. They are at 0330008858. You can also, of course, get in touch with Relate Malaysia at www.relate.com.my. And even here on BFM, we have had a number of shows, particularly run by The Bigger Picture, to do with mental health. And Noelle, why don't you give us some of them?
Yes, that's Ask a Psychologist number 14, Mental Health Clinic. You can check out the podcast. There's Paul Jambunathan. I think he's quite famous from the Light FM days. So he's a consultant clinical psychologist. And of course, our favourite doctor, Dr. George Lee, our consultant urologist, he also has a point of view about mental health. And I think he has a podcast out there, It's Okay to Get Treated for Depression.
You can find those on the BFM app or, of course, on the website bfm.my. Right now, though, we're about to head into the 7:30 News Bulletin. And then up next, we're going to be speaking with Yong Liang Po, consultant at the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, on the climate change shakeup we're seeing at oil majors. Stay tuned for that after the news at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.